Okay, so we're up to the Gemara. Tanya. It's about the 10th wide line. The first word on the line is Uboyalo. Uboyalo. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shomati shebezdin makin v'oinshin shaloi min ha-Torah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, I heard that Bezdin have the license, have the mandate to give a punishment, whether it's makkas or some other punishment, shaloi min ha-Torah. Shaloi min ha-Torah means even if it's not dictated by the Torah, it's still Musa. They're still Mutter. They can, as it were, break the rules. They're allowed to break the rules. V'loi lavoir al divrei Torah. Obviously, they don't do so to transgress the words of the Torah, but to the contrary. Rather, elo kidei lasois siog la-Torah. They can make offense. And obviously, the reason why the Gemara is mentioning this is because of the story that we learned with Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach, as it were, went against the regular normal rules, but he was allowed to do so. The Beis Din are allowed to make special dispensation in order to make a siog. So, in the case, remember, of the Shmoinim Noshim, of the 80 women who were involved in witchcraft and Avodah Zarah, so Shimon ben Shetach felt that it was in Klal Yisrael's interest, lechvoidei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make a public stance and to kill them all and to hang them all on one day as well. So that was a special license that Beis Din have. So the Gemara says, Umaysa. Now listen to how topical this is. Umaysa be'echad she'rochav al sus b'Shabbos b'Yemei Yevonim. So we're on the 6th day of Hanukkah, the 5th, tonight the 6th. So there was somebody who rode on a horse on Shabbos in the times of the Yevonim. So this is very, very topical, very, very timely and incredible hashkacha that we're learning about the Yevonim on Hanukkah. So this person who rode a horse on Shabbos, v'heviyuhu lebezdin, v'sakluhu, and they stoned him. Now that's an incredible thing. It's true that Chilul Shabbos is punishable by skila, but riding on a horse on Shabbos is not a malacha, as we all know. It's an issa drabanan. The reason why it's issa drabanan, for various reasons, Chazal were concerned that if you ride your horse on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, you might snap off a branch from a tree to use as a stick or as a whip. Fine. So therefore, obviously, you're not allowed to do so, but it's not punishable by skila. And here at the times of the Yevonim, the Beis Din gave him skila. Unbelievable. Skila for what? For riding a horse on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Loi mipnei. Not because Shiro'u lekach, that his Avera actually deserved it, because he wasn't over a Malacha de'iraisa. But rather, Elo shahasho'o tzricho lekach, because the time needed it. Meaning it was the call of the hour. Look at Rashi, an incredible Rashi. Like I said, very, very topical. Shomati, the 7th wide line of Rashi. Shomati mirabo isai. I heard from my rabbeim shebezdin mutarim liois makin malchus. Bezdin are allowed to dispense malchus, v'oinshin oina shalmisa, or even give out the death penalty shaloi min ha-Torah, even if it's not prescribed by the Torah. V'loi sheyischavnu lavor al divrei Torah. Not chas v'shalom that their intention would be to just to transgress the words of the Torah, lovud milibom, just to invent chiyav misa l'she'enoi chayev. We're not going to go around and say, okay, we've decided to change the rules of the Torah. The Torah says if you steal money, you have to pay, but we say if you steal money, you're chayev misa. No, chas v'shalom. Elo mipnei tzerech hasho. Rather, if there's a specific tzerech hasho, there's an emergency situation, well, that needs emergency measures. Says Rashi, lasois siog. To make a siog, says Rashi, loi shiro'u lekach. Why, says Rashi, deshvus ba'alma hu midrabanan. Obviously, to ride a horse on Shabbos is not a malacha d'oraisa. It's only a shvus Midrabbanan, and nonetheless, the Beis Din felt that it's chayav v'skila, says Rashi. Elo shehashot tzricha lekach. Why? Mipnei shehoyu prutzim ba'averis. Because Klal Yisrael were being very lax, and they were being porutz ba'averis. Shehoyu royin loichatsin shel Yisrael. They saw those putting pressure on Klal Yisrael. Who was that? In Yonah Diyoma, Shehayavonim heim goizrim aleihem gzeiris. Because the Yavonim, the Greeks, were being goyzer gzeiros on Klal Yisrael, and what was happening? Mitzvahs were bezuyos be'einehem. What does it mean? Mitzvahs were bezuyos be'einehem because of the gzeiros on the part of the Yavonim. So the mitzvahs became now bozui, became insignificant to Klal Yisrael. Ah, they're making gzeiros, they're making it too hard. Who needs it? So there was a terrible, terrible pirtz in Klal Yisrael. So because there was a terrible pirtz in Klal Yisrael, that's why emergency measures had to be made in order for Klal Yisrael to wake up. Such that when somebody, now we know that one of the gezeiros of Yevonim was, of course, against Shabbos. Right? We all know that. One of the gezeiros was against Shabbos, one was against Milah, one was against Rosh Chodesh. The main gezeiros was Lashkicham Teirasecha. But either way, when they made a gezeira against Shabbos, so what began happening? So Klal Yisrael became very slack now in their Shmirah Shabbos. And all of a sudden it became a tremendous bizoyin. So that's why the Beis Din felt they needed to take extraordinary measures, such that when somebody rode his horse on Shabbos. By the way, riding a horse on Shabbos, even though it's true, is only a drabanon, but it's considered very severe. You know why it's considered very severe? Because it's a very public act. You don't ride a horse in your dining room. You ride a horse in the street, it's very noticeable. It's a tremendous, tremendous chil Hashem. The equivalent might be nowadays driving your car down Nachal Ayalon on Shabbos afternoon, Rachmana Litzlan. It's something that's very noticeable. It's a big piritzah. So because it was a big piritzah, that's why they felt that it's true at the end of the day. Yes, it's true. It's not a malacha deraisa. It's only a shvus midrabanan. But because there was a general laxity, as Rashi calls it, mitzvahs were bezuyos on Klal Yisrael, they felt that extraordinary measures were needed to be taken. So therefore, even for a malacha, which was not a deraisa, it was only a drabanan, they nevertheless felt the right thing will be to put him to death. Yeah, Reb Larry, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I want to equate this to like today's day and age. So what if this be pikuach nefesh? So obviously, after they do the investigation, they find out no, the guy's daughter, well, God forbid, was sick. He had to take it to the hospital. But if they're going to punish him based on the embarrassment of the chilul Hashem or whatever, how do they notify everybody? No, this wasn't. What happened was it was pikuach nefesh, and therefore, so if we're going to get that involved, like that, it was a public thing. Then we have to stop. People do things in public because no, I had to do it. I know it's Mechal Shabbos, but it wasn't my intention to embarrass Hashem. So how do you get involved in that whole thing?
It's a hard question because when there's Chilul Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, as we know, not only is it not an Aveira, it's actually a mitzvah. So when you see your local ambulance drive down the street on Shabbos, we don't even need to be working hard to be don l'kaf zechus. That's clearly a mitzvah. If I see my neighbor driving down the street, Chas v'Shalom on Shabbos, so then I need to be don l'kaf zechus. He's doing so for Pikuach Nefesh reasons. Or he's doing it because he didn't realize. But over here, Chazal clearly felt that the guy jolly well did realize. And the reason why he was riding his horse on Shabbos was just because, like Rashi says, mitzvahs were bezuyos. And that is a judgment that Bezin have to take, which is a very hard judgment, as you point out. Okay, final story. Another terrible story. Shuv Maisa Ba'odom Echo. There was once a story, Shehitiach Es Ishtoi Tachas HaTe'ino. He had relations with his wife under a tree, means in a public place. Now, what is the issa of having relations with his wife in a public place? So obviously, it's not an issa d'oraisa. It's his wife. It's not somebody else's wife, chas v'shalom. But rather, we understand it's a total breach in tznius. So what happens? Ve'hivyu lebezdin, and they gave him Malchus. Loi mipnei shiro'u lekach. Not because necessarily this Aveira deserves Malchus. It doesn't say anywhere that for this type of deed you get Malchus, but they felt elo shehasho'a tzricha lekach. But they felt that under the circumstances, the times dictated that this was a necessary reaction. Says Rashi, Hitiach bo'oleho, he had relations with her, tachasateino, mokoim golui, in a very open place. So when there's a breach in tznius, so it depends on the circumstances. This is obviously a decision, as Larry pointed out, not an easy decision to make, but it's a decision that needs to be taken by Beis Din. How much of appearance is this? How could it perhaps have far-reaching ramifications? And if it can, then emergency measures have to be introduced. So Beis Din have that license even to put somebody to death or to give somebody malchus, even if the aveira that they committed is actually, strictly speaking, not necessarily punishable by that punishment.
Rabbi, does this hold true for public, for a husband and wife public affection, like holding hands or a kiss on the cheek on Shabbos or any of these other things that are not necessarily the ultimate act? But if you are not tsanua, and like there is way you would be tsanua with your wife, I don't know if I'm exactly that tsanua with my wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that hold true?
Okay, it's a very difficult issue. The Shulchan Aruch says quite clearly in Evin HaEzer, Siman Chof Aleph, that a person is not supposed to show public affection to his wife. Shouldn't be done so in public. Now, the word affection is obviously very bendable and has
Subjective.
quite objective, has far-reaching consequences and far-reaching definitions in some circles, as you point out. To hold hands wouldn't be considered a breach. In other areas, it would be considered a breach. There also exists a concept of something which essentially is osa, but people for some reason think it's muta. In some circles, they think it's muta even to shake another woman's hand. They're not necessarily doing it for any evil intentions or malicious intentions or any chas v'shalom intentions of znus. But it's just considered unacceptable, and in some circles it is acceptable. I'll tell you a very beautiful thing. Rabbi David, one of your neighbors, who you probably know well, is called Tzvika Wolfson. Do you know Tzvika Wolfson?
I don't know him. I've heard the name, but I don't know him.
Okay, Tzvika Wolfson is a brother of the Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim, Rav Daniel Wolfson, who happens to be my mechutton. Daniel Wolfson's daughter married my son Meir about a year or so ago. Their father, Rav Daniel Wolfson, Tzvika Wolfson's father, just passed away a few months ago, Rav Aviezer Wolfson. He was a very, very famous personality. He was a terrifically wealthy individual, multi, a massive Baal Tzedakah, Talmud Chochem. He was involved in Kiruv Rechoykim. Everybody knows the tune. You probably sang it this morning in Shachris for Mor Ashiv. He composed it. Mor Ashiv L'Hashem. He composed that tune 40 years ago,
Yes,
which is now
we heard that tune this morning, yes.
right. So that's sung literally across the world. He composed it and his piano. He was very musical. He's a very talented person. So he was nifta on this past Chol Hamoed Sukkos. So I went to the shiva, obviously, because the one of the avelim is my mechutton. It was the most colorful shiva you ever saw in your life. There were literally gedolei hador. Reb Dov Landau was there at the shiva, not when I was there. And anything when I was there was an army general there as well. He was a very colorful person himself, very well connected. So when I was there, the shiva was absolutely packed. And in walks, there's Rosh Hashivas and Magidi Shiurim and Talmidei Chachamim, and in walks this army general. And it was a very interesting sight. And he asked to say a few words. And he said, in front of all the Rabbonim, he said, "It was just a few weeks ago that I brought a whole troop of soldiers, men and women, to see your father. I'm not sure in what capacity. I wouldn't be surprised if he donated some tank or ambulance, or he was very, very wealthy. And we were so blown away by your father's midas and his tznius and his He said, I even told the soldiers afterwards, you know, now you see why we're fighting in the war. It's worthwhile putting our lives in danger to defend people like this. And then he said, am I allowed to say something funny? He said, yeah. He said, are you sure? I mean, it's a shiver after all. I don't know if this is the place to crack a joke. He said, yeah, if it's about our father, you can say it. So he said, well, when I brought this group of soldiers, like I said, there were men soldiers, women soldiers. So one of the young women soldiers went up to your father, Rabbi Eliezer Wolfson, and extended her hand to shake his hand. And then this army general just stopped himself in the middle of the story and he said, well, actually, on second thoughts, I don't want to say the story. And everybody was pushing him, no, say. He said, no, I don't feel comfortable. But I could just tell you, your father gave such a clever and beautiful reaction without insulting her in any way, but to make it clear that he didn't want to shake hands with her. And he refused to say what it was. But he just said, you know, it was an amazing thing that your father did, just very cleverly managed to avoid the situation without hurting anybody's feelings. I left the shiva, and outside is this army general. So I went up to him and said, okay, you've got to tell me, what did he say? Can't leave me there in bated breath. What was this clever comment? She said, okay, I'll tell you. He said, you know, I felt a bit uncomfortable there in front of all these rabbis and rabbonim, but she said, this young soldier, young woman soldier, I don't know, 20-year-old, she obviously had no idea. So she extended her arm to Rabbi Eliezer Wolfson, who's 83 years old, to shake his hand. So on the spot, he says to her, I'm sorry, I only shake hands with ugly women. And that's what he said on the spot. So it was a very clever remark. It was like a compliment for her, but at the same time, she understood very well that, you know, it's not acceptable. But he didn't do so, chas v'shalom, in a way that would hurt her feelings. To the contrary, he gave her a compliment. So I'm sorry, I only shake hands with ugly women. Al kaponim, this is a very, very difficult situation, a very difficult shaila. But essentially, the Shulchan Aruch does say one is not supposed to show affection for one's wife in public, but it is a very, very difficult subject. Okay, let's move on to the next Mishnah. So we're literally going through the process. So we've discussed now not only the stoning and how that's done. You push him off the floor, you throw stones at him. Now the chiyuv to hang him, but we haven't actually discussed the actual hanging. We've only discussed the chiyuv to hang him, but not how it's actually done. So says the Mishnah. Ketzad toilin oisai. How do you hang him? Every halacha has instructions. There's no such thing as do it whatever you like. No, there's an instruction. It's all learned from Psukim. So, ketzad toilin oisai. How exactly would we hang him? Meshakin es hakoira ba'aretz. Meshakin means you would sink. Word for shakua. You've got a koira, which is a long beam, like a lamppost, big stick, and you sink that into the ground. So you've now got an upward stick stuck into the ground. V'ho'eitz yotze, and from it, you've got a piece of wood sticking out. So I guess it would look a bit like a gallows. You've got an upright and then a horizontal piece of wood, which is protruding from the top of this piece of beam that's now sunk into the ground. Umakif shtei yodov zu al gav zu. How do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef? And they fold his arms one on another.
Yeah, they hang him by his hands from the beam. Oh, wait a minute, a little bit before. The hangman brings the two hands of the corpse, one upon the other, and they hang him by his hands from the beam.
Right. Remember, they're not killing him by hanging. He's already dead. If you just hang somebody by their hands, they don't die. But rather, this is done, as we've said before, for kapara and for embarrassment. We'll see later on in the Gemara. V'toilo isay. Says Rashi. Yes, Rav Larry.
What about the halacha of burying a mace as quickly as possible? How does this?
Yeah,
It
we're going to
comes in.
discuss that. It's coming up on the next omelet. We'll see the next daf. That's not much to discuss. The whole halachas of kvura are learned from our sugya. So it says Rashi, Meshakin noyatsin, you'd stick into the ground. V'ho'etz yoytze mimeno k'min yoseid, it looks like a peg, right? Like an upside down L shape, an upright and then a gallows. Hu anaf, that's a branch, as it were, yoytze min ha'koire, that's protruding from the beam, somoch l'roisha, close to the end of it. U'makef, soymech loy zu etzel zu, he puts his two hands close to each other. The word makif means close. Rashi brings other examples that makif means close. Okay, back into the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Rabbi Yossi says, Hakoire muta al hakoisel. So he disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says that the koira was not stuck into a wall, into a floor. Was not stuck into the ground as an upright, but rather it was leaning on a wall, v'toila oisa, and you would hang him, not as it were, dangling by his hands from this gallow-type construction, but rather you have a beam which is leaning on a wall, and you hang him k'derech shahatabochin oisin, and you do so the way that the butchers would do. So I'm assuming, if you look at Rashi, mutal hakoisel loy hoisa nuutza ba'aretz, elo roisha echod al ha'aretz, rather one end was not stuck into the ground. If it'd be stuck into the ground, it'd be a vertical upright. Rather, one end was leaning on the ground, ve'ereisha echod somoch al hakoisel, and the other end was leaning on a wall. So when it says the way that butchers did it, Rabbi Yosef, today, go into detail. What does this mean? I guess the way that butchers used to hang up meat, leaning against a wall. Is that what it means?
Okay. I don't remember. According to Rabbi Yosef, the beam is not sunk vertically into the ground, but rather rested diagonally against a wall. A
right.
rope dangles from it,
right.
on which the body is hung.
Right.
Quotes to Pharisee Israel.
Yeah, that's how we understood. Okay, back into the Mishnah. Now this addresses what Larry brought up before. After you've hung him, umatirin oisoi miyad. Matirin oisoi miyad. You have to now release him for burial immediately. It means he's got to be hung because the Torah clearly says so. So even though under ordinary circumstances, yes, you're right, there's a chiyuv to bury him, but here the Torah has clearly said, v'tolisa, you've got to hang him, but you can't hang him up for too long. So you hang him up, it doesn't say how long, but then matirin oisei miyad, you bring him back down. V'imlon, imlon means if you leave him there overnight, over olav b'loisase. Then you have been over on the loy sase of the Torah she'nemar, because it says quite clearly, loy tholin nivlosoy aloetz. Do not allow his corpse to be hung overnight on the tree. Ki kovoir tikborenu. The pasuk continues, rather you have to bury him. Ki kilalas eloikim tolu. Because it's the curse of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which is hanging. What does that mean? Kloimar. Mipnei maze tolui. Why at the end of the day is he hung? Mipnei shebirei ches Hashem. Because he cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nimtza shem shomayim mischalel. And it's going to therefore cause a chil Hashem. So even though, yes, on the one hand, we have a mandate from the Torah to cause him bizoyim for the terrible aveira he did, kayev skila, etc., etc., but on the other hand, we have to realize that every person who walks past is going to say, what is this fellow doing here hung? And they're going to say, ah, well, he cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That itself is, as it were, kaviyochol achilul Hashem. To hear repeatedly that somebody was mevarech es Hashem is itself achilul Hashem. That's why the Torah says, even though on the one hand, yes, you've got to hang him up, but you've got to bring him down by that night. Says Rashi. Yes.
Quick, I'm sorry. Is there a tahara prior to the hanging? How does that work?
I don't know. I don't know. Says Rashi, Shem Shomayim Mischalel, why is there a Chilul Hashem? Shemazkirim, because we keep on mentioning Shezeh Birchoy, that he was Mevoreches Hashem, which, as we know, means he was Mekalles Hashem. So the Torah has clearly dictated, hang him up, but don't keep him there too long. If you keep him there overnight, that itself is a Chilul Hashem. Right, Rabbi Yosef, would you like to translate the next words for us in the Mishnah? Omer Rabbi Meir.
At the time that a person suffers for his sins, Shekhinah, Malashon Amaris, what expression does the Shekhinah articulate?
How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, react to when somebody has to suffer for the averas that he's done, right?
Kaleni Meroshi, Kaleni Mizroi. I am burdened by my head. I am burdened by my arm. There is a note on that which adds, it's as if the Shekhinah was exhausted from the weight of its head and arm. That is, Hashem is troubled by the punishment of the wicked and would greatly prefer that they repent.
Right. Keep on going. Carry on in the Mishnah.
Oh. Sorry.
Im
kein hamokam mitzta'er al domon shel rishoyim shenishbach ayin. Therefore, if the omnipresent is pain for the spilled blood of the wicked, kal v'chomer al domon shel tzadikim. How much more so he is pained for the blood of the righteous.
So there exists a concept which is hard for us to perhaps fathom. There exists a concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself kaviyachol betzar. So if this is true, he's betzar over the fact that the Rasha was killed, even though he definitely deserves it because of his averas, is kol shekein kal v'chaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kaviyachol betzar when a tzaddik is killed. Have a look at Rashi. Sha'odom mitztayer Shepuronus bo'o olav ba'avoinoi. When punishment comes his way as a result of aveira, ma loshen emeres, be'eze loshen. What is the expression he keveles umisnoidedes olav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts it with? He says, kolani meiroishi k'may sheho odom. As it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochel is comparing himself to a human reaction. Just like an odom sheyogeya v'oyev. Right, when a person is exhausted, feeling absolutely smashed, what does he say? Oimer roishi kaved olai. He says, oh, my head is heavy on me. Vizroi kaved olai. And my arms have, I just feel so heavy and exhausted and tired. Vahainu, are we learning this from the word of the Pasuk? Remember, the word of the Pasuk is ki kilalas elokim tolui. Now, the word kilalas can be broken into two. Vahainu kilalas, what this means is kal leis. Kal means light, and leis means I'm not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not light, rather I'm heavy. Ein ani kal. That's, as it were, a deep meaning of the word kilalas. Kilalas means kal leis. I've lost my light. My lightness, I feel heavy, I feel exhausted, like a person who has been running a marathon, he hasn't slept for 3 days. What does he feel? He feels very sluggish and heavy and in pain. So Kaviyoch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the same. Even though this person definitely deserves it, committed an Aveira, Edim, Hasra, he's clearly a Rasha, he did it, amaze it. But nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm in pain. Look back into the Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, V'loi zu bilvad omru. It's not just this case. Elo kol hamalin esmesoi. Not just in the case of somebody who had to be hanged. Does the Torah say, don't keep him there overnight because you've got to bury him? But so too, kol hamalin esmesoi. Anybody, even for not to my Rosh, a regular person who passes away, has to be buried straight away, and it would sound like, from the simple reading of the Mishnah and the Pasuk, Malin. What does Malin mean from the word lon, lina, overnight? You're not allowed to keep a mace overnight. And if you do so, oiver Beloisasi. Now, as we know, in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, for example, they're extremely makbid about this. If somebody passes away, they do not do the burial the next day, and they will do absolutely everything to bury him on the same day. So much so that about a year ago, one of the Gedolei Yisrael passed away, Reb Boruch Mordechai Ezrachi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Now, he passed away on a Thursday. Reb Boruch Mordechai has a number of daughters, but he's only got one son. And that son happened to be in Chutz La'aretz at the time, even though Reb Boruch Mordechai was ill, but his death didn't seem to be imminent. So the son went, I believe, on a fundraising mission for the yeshiva, and he was in Mexico. So they wanted to wait for the son to come back, who was put on a flight, an emergency flight, and he made it back just in time for the Levaya. But there was no way they were going to carry the Levaya without him. He was the only son. He's now the next Rosh Yeshiva, etc., etc. However, Reb Baruch Mordechai and his yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So what they did was, incredibly, they knew the son would only be back by Friday morning. There's no way they could get him back quicker. So they actually took the mace to Kiryat Sefer, where there it was situated overnight, and then they brought him back to Yerushalayim on Friday morning. Why? For the reasons we just explained, because in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, the minhag is to be extremely makpid, not to keep a dead body overnight. Now, we probably are all familiar with circumstances where the Levaya was not held immediately. Especially in Chutz La'aretz, they seem to be less makpid about this. So look at the continuation of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Halinehu lichvoidoi. But if they kept it overnight, lichvoidoi. Lichvoidoi, not because they couldn't be bothered to make the arrangements. For some reason, it was considered a kovid. For example, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, if you remember, passed away on Erev Shabbos afternoon. Now, it could well be that technically they could have got their act together and done the Levaya there and then. But they kept the Levaya. It wasn't even held the next day either. It wasn't even a Motzei Shabbos. It was Sunday morning. I was there, 500,000 people. That was Lichvoidei. So Lichvoidei, the God Lador, that's no longer considered a bezoyin to keep the body overnight. Obviously, there's Shmira, and there's people there guarding the body, etc., etc. So if it's Halineu Lichvoidei, or Lahavi Oroin V'Tachrichim, if for some reason it's delayed to bring him an Oroin, or tachrichim that shrouds, well then, einoy over alav. Well, it's not considered an issa. So if, for example, for some reason they're having difficulty in constructing an orim, which in this country is irrelevant because they don't bury in an orim, but they're doing chutz la'aretz, or to get hold of tachrichim, they said the earliest we can get it is the next day. So obviously that is l'toivas hames. The only prohibition of keeping the body overnight is when it's not l'toivas hames. So therefore, technically speaking, even in the story that we said before, when they're waiting for the son of the Rosh Hashiva, you could, in theory, have argued that maybe that's considered lichvoidei shalmeis, that his only son, the successor, should be able to attend the levaya. Either way, they were machmir, they took the body out of Yerushalayim and then brought it back to Yerushalayim. Yeah, Reb Larry.
Does onen docha Shabbos, or are you onen over Shabbos?
There's no aninus on Shabbos, no. In fact, I
So
think.
he's so he so he's completely a full-fledged functioning yid on Shabbos, and the second Shabbos is over, he's an onen.
Not Oinen. The second Shabbos says he's an Avelis. Oinen is only that in between period from the Patira, from the death until the Kavura.
Right, but this kfura, Reb Chaim's kfura, was Sunday morning.
Then there would be an Oinen. Again, if the person passed away on Shabbos, and there's no Aninus.
No. Let's say in Reb Chaim's case, he died the Erev Shabbos, and now it's Shabbos. So is his son an onen on Shabbos,
Right.
or because the kfura is Sunday morning, or is his?
So technically speaking, he's an Oinein all the way till the Levaya. If somebody passes away on Shabbos, then the Aninus does not kick in. But over here, passed away before, so the Aninus does kick in. But even then, it's complicated because we know there's halacha of Ein Avelus Befarhesya. There's no Avelus in public, and therefore they would still come to shul. Complicated halachas.
And he doesn't say Kaddish yet, that's
They
for
do say
sure.
Kaddish. Yeah, the meaning is they do say Kaddish. In fact, I just got a call now on Motzei Shabbos from somebody in Ramat Dalet whose father passed away. They just heard in America Friday night. So he now was in Aninus, even though it happened on Shabbos, but now in Eretz Yisrael it's no longer Shabbos. He was trying to book a ticket back to America, so he was in Aninus. That's what I told him a
And
few times.
does the shiva start from Friday or from Sunday?
No, only from the Kavura.
So he's saying Kaddish. He hasn't even said shiva yet. Wow,
Correct.
it's very
Shiva
complicated.
would only start straight away if he's not planning on attending the Kavura at all.
It's
Okay.
quite complicated. It's not an easy.
Very complicated. Halachas.
This is
Okay.
why I don't become a rabbi. Otherwise, I would.
Okay, I was wondering why. Be well, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Any Basuras Tavis.
Name.